Seems to be a little bit of a labor dispute here. what can you say? Well, this afternoon, we're going to have the very first baptismal service of the year here at Berean Baptist Church. Now you might ask, why get baptized at all? You're saved the moment that you accept the shed blood of Jesus as payment for your sins, that he died on the cross for you. Once that happens, you go from death to life, you go from heaven to hell, you go from sin to righteousness. So baptism doesn't save. He's already your Heavenly Father. And he no longer judges you as one who is a sinner, giving you your rightful wages to send you straight to hell. He's now your Heavenly Father. Your sins are forgiven on the cross, not in the lake. Confession of sin to Jesus Christ, according to 1:9, is what saves you, cleanses you from sin, not the water. You're not made worthy by baptism. You're made worthy by the one who is worthy, who died on the cross for you. You give him your sins, and he imputes upon you the righteousness that is required to stand in front of a holy God. So, once again, what's the purpose of baptism? Why get baptized at all? Well, baptisms accomplish two things. First of all, it's the first act of obedience. If you are called to obey in baptism, which is very simple, and you refuse to do so, how can he then trust you to obey in more weighty things? John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. All through the New Testament, we see the commandment to be baptized after you're saved. Second, it shows the entire world that you now identify with Jesus Christ. You identify with his death, his burial, his resurrection as the only way to approach the Heavenly Father. You identify with the fact that you are now part of the heavenly kingdom and no longer part of this world. You are dead to this world, made alive to Jesus Christ. Born again to a spiritual life, and that is the life you intend to live from now on. The entire world sees this now as you identify with him. If you identify with the world, if you identify with Jesus Christ, you reject the world. The world will not be pleased with you. And that is showing that you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the longest section in the Bible on baptism has to do with the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, little of this section actually had to do with baptism, only two verses. But the entire section dealt with the important subject of baptism. So let's look at the Ethiopian eunuch to understand the why and the how of baptism. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. So Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south under the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself, or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his... Let me take this. Excuse me. Well, I guess that's part of my sermon. The eunuch saw the light, right? That was, we were supposed to baptize Candace and Travis. They've been here a few weeks. Unfortunately, there was some sort of a charge against them from years ago, and he got arrested, so he's now in jail. So keep Candace and keep Travis in prayer, and hopefully we'll be able to baptize them in a few weeks if they get through all this. And I was asking for contact information. So I apologize for that. That'll teach me once again for not turning my phone down. I'm still not perfect, am I? So, we just read, let's go to the prayer, as a matter of fact. We'll pray for them and pray for the message. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you went to the cross. By your death, your burial, your resurrection, we are then saved. By your stripes, we are healed. By your taking our pain, we can have joy and life everlasting. And Lord, we're thankful for that. And the first act is identifying with that death, that burial, that resurrection, allowing us to see our old man crucified with Christ and allow our spirit to be raised again in newness of life, seeing us now living a life following Jesus Christ, slipping all the time, but no longer worried about the righteous judge who will judge us for our sins, but having pain of disappointing our Heavenly Father who will chastise us to make us better citizens. And Lord, right now, we see that we have a certain person who wanted to get baptized today, Travis, who is chastised for something he did. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be with him through all this. You would give him the joy of knowing that you're with him, even as he is suffering through this time. And you'd allow the judges and the prosecutors to get through this quickly, and that he may join us in this church where he wants to be. And Lord, for those being baptized today, let them understand the full impact of their baptism. Let them understand that they are being fully accepted into the family of God, being joint heirs of Jesus Christ and in vowing to live for him. We ask all of us in your precious son's dear name, amen. Now, what's the Ethiopian eunuch doing there? He's not a Jew. The Ethiopian eunuch saw what was going on, saw the Jewish religion, saw that this God was a God worthy of worshiping, and went there to Passover to be part of the celebration there to worship God. He wanted to learn of him, but he was ignorant. Nobody has an excuse to not believe. As the Ethiopian eunuch showed, this person in the middle of Ethiopia, in the middle of Africa, having no contact with God at all, basically, except for maybe a few Jews trading, he'd probably come back and forth every now and then trading, saw something in this and wanted to know more about him. He picked up the Bible, had no clue about it. He's looking at it and he can't figure it out. But he wanted to learn. So what happens? God says, hey, Philip, you're in the middle of this great revival. You're preaching to all these people. You're seeing people saved right and left. But you know something? I want you to go to Gaza, which is desert. Philip's thinking, what am I going to do? Preach to a bunch of scorpions and vultures? That's all that's down there. Made very clear, which is desert. He was trying to tell us something. It made no sense for Philip to go to Gaza, except God knew there was an appointment he needed to make. And so Philip went there, saw this Ethiopian eunuch, and the Ethiopian eunuch, who was ignorant, asked him, what is he talking about? I don't get it. So, what did Philip do? Philip comes and talks to him. Philip shows him the truth of the Bible. The Ethiopian eunuch saw through the foolishness of preaching from Philip the truth. And God used the faith of Philip to change the heart of that eunuch. And what happened then? The eunuch got converted. The eunuch believed. After that, he was baptized. And after that, he went away joyful. We see some very important doctrines in this section on baptism. As I said, this is not the main thrust of that section, but the entire section has a lot to do with what baptism is. And we see several things here. First of all, we see the timing of baptism. Second of all, we see the type of baptism, and then we see the temperament after baptism. So the timing. The Catholic and Reformed churches both baptize babies. Many, but not all, believe in baptismal regeneration. Well, that's a big word. What does that mean? What that means is, if you get baptized, that washes away your sins washed away, you are then accepted by God and will go to heaven. I don't see that in the Bible anywhere. But that's what a lot of them believe in. When you hear baptismal regeneration, that's what it means. The baptism itself is what saves you. But if they don't believe in baptismal regeneration, they believe it does usher them into the kingdom, as Luke 18:15 had Jesus let all the children come to him. And that's true. Who does Jesus call? Let me think. If he is lifted up on the cross, it'll call all men to him. Now, those of you who understand subsets and sets in math, when you deal with all, what are we talking about? We're dealing with all. Does that not include children? So, yes, he called children to come to him. That doesn't mean that they should be baptized and saved. He calls them to him so they can learn of Jesus Christ. That's why we have a very young children's church. They don't necessarily understand everything, but they get the foundation where then they can be taught later. They also believe that the church has replaced Israel as God's people. Baptism then replaces circumcision as a way to enter the kingdom. But the problem was circumcision was assigned to the Jews, who were a physical people of God set aside for God's glory for God's own purposes. I want to show of hands here. How many are Jews? Not too many. So we don't have that same right. We are a different people. The Jews are a special person. They are God's chosen race for God's chosen purposes, for God's chosen glory. We do not replace it. The promises to Israel will happen in the millennial kingdom. We don't have those promises. Quite frankly, I like ours better. You know, we're spiritual people of God. At the rapture, we'll be taken out, we'll meet Jesus Christ, and we will return with him during the millennial kingdom to help him rule. What does that mean? I have no idea. But it's in the Bible, and therefore I trust it. So, we see that the Reformed Church does not have the right idea here. The church is a spiritual entity with no national identity at all. In the Old Testament, if you wanted to be a people of God, you had to become Jewish. In the church age, if you want to be a people of God, you have to become American, right? Is that in the Bible? There is no national identity. All means all. It makes no difference where you come from. There is no Greek. There is no Scythian. There is no barbarian. There is no Jew. There's nothing. There's believers in Jesus Christ, and that's it. So we see it's a completely different thing. The church is in the world, but it's not of the world. All true believers that are baptized will go to heaven. All Jews who are circumcised did not go to heaven. In fact, if you look at tribulation, the Jews, two-thirds of them be killed. The one-third remaining that are faithful to the Messiah, they're the ones that will enter the millennial kingdom. So we see circumcision and baptism are not the same thing. Now, why not baptize babies? What can it possibly hurt? I was baptized as a baby. My parents are ignorant. Basically, I cried a little bit. I got wet. And what was the purpose of that? Let's look again at Acts 8:37. To be baptized, the eunuch had to believe with all his heart. Asked, and the eunuch said this, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Only after he understood that Jesus was God incarnate, come to reveal God to man, come to take man's penalty from sin, to die on the cross, to shed his blood, that by faith you can have your sins covered, and by faith you become a joint heir of Jesus Christ, and by faith then he accepts you. Only if he understood all that, that then Jesus Christ was resurrected, sitting in the right hand of God where he waits for us. You believe that, then you can be baptized. Kevin and Grace back there are very faithful people. I'm sure Michael Paul understands that perfectly, right? A baby is incapable of understanding those things. Since a baby is incapable of understanding those things, what Philip told the eunuch would not apply to a baby. A baby would say, wah. Okay, you don't understand. You can't get baptized. We see that, the timing right there. Baptism is a picture of what Jesus Christ has already done in your heart. Now turn to Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 to 17. I want to follow Jesus Christ as close as I can. He was my example of how to live. He was where I walk to try to live the perfect Christian life. Now the perfect Christian life, you would think you'd follow Christ, right? Christ got baptized. How did Christ get baptized? If we see how Christ got baptized, shouldn't I try to do it the same way to identify with him? So Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 11. This is John the Baptist talking. I indeed baptize you with water under repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. John did baptize with water, baptism of repentance. It was not the baptism we're talking about today. Jesus would baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, what does fire do? If I have some fire, I see some cars out there. Is fire always a bad thing? See some cars out there. Fire is what makes those cars work. Fire is useful. It also destroys. It depends on what it's doing. When he baptizes us with fire, he will burn away all the chaff. He will burn away the wood, the hay, and the stubble. What else does fire do? How many of you have gold wedding bands on? It didn't come out of the ground that way. It came out of the ground ore. Fire purifies gold, silver, precious stones. The works of God, fire purifies. It burns away all the flesh, and it leaves the spirit afterward. And that's what Jesus does with us at baptism. Our old man is crucified with him. We are raised to newness of life in spirit. So the spirit kills the old man. The fire destroys the work of that. And then we're raised to newness of life. That is what the baptism of water pictures. It is Christ's baptism of the heart that is already accomplished. Now let's look at Jesus' baptism for our example. It fulfilled righteousness. Jesus was obedient to his Father. When he was obedient to his Father, becoming sin for us, showing us the example, the Holy Spirit descended to empower the start of his ministry. Just as the Spirit empowers us. Once again, if we are not willing to do the first act of obedience, he's not going to use us for anything else. If we're embarrassed at him at our baptism, he won't use us to do great and mighty things. It was at the right time. Jesus is the Son of God. We are baptized after God accepts us. We are true sons of God if we have Jesus as our Savior. Now, he's the only begotten Son of God, but we're adopted. I'm his joint heir. Do I deserve being his joint heir? Not in your life. I'm his joint heir because Jesus, by his words, has promised me that if by faith I accept his payment of my sins. And I am accepting that at the baptism. And I'm trying to identify exactly the way Jesus did that. God spoke and said, This is his beloved Son in whom he is well pleased. Glorifying God once again with his obedience. He is well pleased with us putting faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Jesus accepted his call, and Jesus was obedient unto death. We have died to the flesh. When we die to the flesh, we make ourselves a living sacrifice to God to be used however he sees fit. He may martyr some of us. He may give us all kinds of benefits that we may show others joy and others, we may support others. I don't know what he's going to do. Not my call. I'm slave to righteousness. I'm slave to Jesus Christ. I'm slave to God. He will choose how I serve him, and I will be that living sacrifice. And when I do that, he'll be well pleased to use me. Colossians 2:12 shows the baptism of Christ pictures our own baptism. Buried with him at baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So, to have a proper baptism, we must show what the baptism actually pictures. And that's the type of baptism. Turn to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 11. Not really a passage on baptism here, but it shows what it pictures. And it shows why we'll be immersing people today and not just sprinkling them. So Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized in Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive through Jesus Christ our Lord. Baptism pictures the death of self as we are made alive in Jesus Christ. It pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our sins placed on him, we are crucified with Jesus Christ. Dead to self in him, our old man is buried. As he arose, we will rise in spiritual newness of life. As a physical picture of our spiritual rebirth, we show that his death, burial, and resurrection are ours as a gift for our faith in him. The death and burial I deserve, the resurrection is all him. But our old man has died, our old man is crucified, our old man is killed. Our old man is then buried forevermore, and we are raised in newness of life serving him. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but it means we recognize where our righteousness comes from. We serve him, and when we sin, we go to our Heavenly Father for forgiveness. We no longer worry about judgment. This is a very serious decision. As we identify with the one who has absolutely promised us persecution in this life if we follow him. You know, I would talk about this in Sunday school today. Quite often when we talk about salvation, people will say, your life is going to be wonderful. It's going to be perfect. Jesus is going to take care of you. I'll tell you right now, if you accept this, if you accept Jesus Christ, if you follow him, you will have persecution. It is absolutely promised. They killed our king. He was crucified. Do we expect any less? How foolish of us. But our king is not of this world. He's of the next. And he's risen there, and he calls us to him. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:9 to be a partaker of the sufferings of the gospel. Timothy is one of the pastoral epistles. He's teaching Timothy how to be a pastor. And he added in verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The promises of eternal life, there is a cost to follow Jesus Christ. There is a cost in this world. It is not free. The gift is free, but the persecution is promised. Now, Genesius was a Roman soldier during the days of Diocletian. Once he appeared in a play in which Christians were ridiculed, he performed his part without hesitation and to the delight of the people, until the moment when he was asked to mockingly do a baptism. Seized by an irresistible power, he suddenly stood still and silent. Then he explained to the astonished audience that he himself desired to be a Christian. So his life became easy, right? So we're here today. Upon this, he left the stage, received baptism, and soon sealed his faith with a martyr's death. He saw the cost. He saw the benefits. He weighed them like every one of us does. He saw what the world offers. He saw what Jesus Christ offered. He said, this world is nothing. Jesus Christ is everything. I see Jesus. I see the world. I'm going to accept the gift that Jesus Christ gave me. Was there a cost? Yeah, he was very shortly there martyred. But after he was martyred, he was raised to newness of life. He was with Jesus Christ right then. And everyone else is dead there too. But they're in hell, waiting for their final judgment, where this man is waiting for the judgment that will hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter on the joy of this Lord. Now the world does understand baptism. Make no mistake. The world mocks baptism, but they do understand it identifies with Jesus Christ, and they try to mock it. Satan is a great copyist. The Republicans of France, who already had civil marriages and civil funerals, introduced civil baptisms. At a village in the independent Loire, I'm pronouncing that, Philippe's going to chew me out because I'm pronouncing that way off, I'm sure. The mayor officiated and poured white wine on the child's head, pronouncing the words, Pierre Victor, I baptize thee in the name of liberty, equality, and fraternity. Vive la République. The world does understand what baptism is. It understands we are identifying with Jesus Christ. It understands that we are making ourselves separate from the world. That's why the world is not happy with us. Here, Satan tried to copy it. Identify with the world instead. Why do you need a baptism there? It's much more fun with this one. We don't even use water. They use wine. Much more fun, right? How the world views things. Now, it's just a picture. Isn't sprinkling enough? I mean, it was his death, burial, and resurrection that saved us, not the dunking into the water. But sprinkling only pictures a little bit of dirt thrown at our Savior. Furthermore, we read about Jesus. We read about the eunuch. What did they do? They came up out of the water. That is the picture that they left us for baptism. I believe I should follow the Bible as close as I possibly can. And I want to do exactly what they did with baptism. Now, baptizo in the Greek means to dip or to submerge. I want to walk with Jesus. I want to walk like Jesus. I want to follow Jesus' example, and therefore I want to be baptized exactly like Jesus was. The Spirit of God is already on me because he placed it there. If I do it in righteousness, God will say, this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. Adopted, not begotten. Big difference. But still, he is pleased when this happens. Now, if sprinkling was enough, why on earth did they go to the Jordan River? They could have been baptized in homes. Also, we're going to baptize probably about 8 people today. You know, if I had a ladle instead of a lake, it'd be a lot quicker. Get the assembly line going. Yep, baptize. That's a lot quicker than bringing everyone down, dunking everything like that. Wouldn't have to worry about changing clothes, all that. That'd be far easier, right? That's not what they did in the New Testament because it was an improper picture. I don't want a few wet spots identifying with Jesus. I want my entire body to identify with him, showing my body is mortified. The sins of my body are mortified. That doesn't mean I'm not going to commit them, but it means I recognize them as something that offends my Heavenly Father, and I need to take care of them just as I offend my earthly father, and he corrected me when I did so. I recognize my Heavenly Father is going to do the same thing, but it's for my good, to make me a better citizen, because I'm already accepted as a son of God. So the final thing, we see the time. We see the type. What about the temperament? What did the eunuch do? Came up out of the water and went away joyful. Baptism means to be fully identified with Jesus Christ. He died your death. You then mortify the deeds of your body. He paid the debt he didn't owe because he knew you had a debt you couldn't pay. So he came and paid that debt. He took all your wages. You know, I've earned lots of wages in my life. I've earned a long time in hell with a very hot temperature. He put all those on the cross and took those wages from me. And by taking those wages from me, he then gives me his righteousness. As far as God is concerned, I am as righteous as Jesus Christ because I put my faith on him. It has nothing to do with how I act. It has nothing to do with my actions. It has to do with my attitude. I have accepted Jesus Christ as the payment of my sins, which is what God told me to do, and that is why he's pleased, because I followed him in faith. Now he intercedes for us. Resurrected, he waits to do the same for each one of you and for me, that we may be glorified with him, thereby glorifying the Father who set this whole plan in motion. Fully identifying with Jesus, your eternity is secure. Fully identifying with Jesus, you learn of your joint heir. Fully identifying with Jesus, you desire to serve him and to please him. Partaking in his sufferings, you'll share in his glory. Nothing better than that in all of eternity. Now, desiring to have your faith become sight, you want to produce fruit empowered by his Spirit to present to him at the Bema Seat. Hear in those great words once again that Genesius heard. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Can you imagine that? You're sitting there. There's Jesus Christ in all his glory. We see the scars on his hand. We see the scars on his feet. We see the scars on his side. He's looking at you. He's looking right at Dan Bailey. All the angels are surrounding Dan, the whole host of heaven there. All the other saints are around him. A lot of them have their robes already. They're all looking right at Dan Bailey. And Jesus Christ says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Can there be anything greater in all eternity than that? To seeing all the hosts of heaven cheering the fact that you lived a faithful life. That is why we get baptized, to identify with Jesus Christ. Realize he has that power. He has promised that ending for us. And that is what we look forward to. Is there anything in this world that we have to worry about compared to that? I can't think of a thing. Baptism does not mean you fully understand the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Ashley's getting baptized. She knows a lot about the Bible. Knows a lot more than a lot of adults do. But does she have a full, she has an absolute full understanding of all doctrine? No, she doesn't. She's not capable of it yet. Michael Paul make it safe when he's five. Trust me, at 5 years old, you're not going to understand the big discussions we have about Calvinism, about Arminianism and all that. But he's going to understand. I'm a sinner, I'm going to hell. I don't want that. Jesus came to take my sins away and I can go to heaven? I want that. And I'm going to have faith that what he promised in the Word, he's going to do for me. That's what salvation is. It's that simple. If you do that, you fully understand it, that means that you fully understand the love of Jesus Christ. Not the doctrine, but you understand the love of Jesus Christ, the holiness of Jesus Christ, who had to be holy to take your sins. Because, you know, I like all of you. I know where I'm going. I'm getting kind of old. I think I'll die for you. Wouldn't do you a bit of good. I'm not holy. It wouldn't do you any good at all because I would be dying for my own sins. He had to be holy to do it. 5-year-old can understand that, and he can understand the love of a holy God for it. He paid the debt to satisfy your eternal sin debt, and he didn't have to. I offended him with my sin greatly. Why on earth did he do it for me? Seeing his death, burial, and resurrection accomplished for me, I realize I have the most precious gift of all eternity. Whereas I was lost by his suffering, by his stripes, I am gloriously saved, I'm gloriously healed. Seeing such a great gift, I want to tell the entire world. Baptism does just that. It pictures what God did in your heart, and it shows the world that you identify with him, you understand it's his death, burial, and resurrection that makes it so mine's possible. I identify with that God-man who saved me. I will live for and forever for him. If you can't rejoice over that, you can't rejoice over anything. You have a whole eternity with Jesus Christ. You have a whole eternity with him, and he gave you that gift. God called, Jesus fulfilled, and the Spirit empowered the gospel. Think about that just for a second. Picture of Jesus Christ is our picture of our baptism. All three persons of the Godhead are involved in your salvation. This insignificant little preacher of an insignificant church in an insignificant town has the entire Godhead looking at him and glorifying God over my salvation. And it's the same with every single one of you. Think about that for a second. The entire Trinity is looking at you, Mary, and saying, okay, what's your decision? You're saved? Praise God. God's designed it. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, and the Spirit's empowered you for whatever you're going for doing all that lunch work you're going to do. With all that, that's got to have you absolutely joyful if you really comprehend what's going on there. That's why we see so many Christians doing so much for God when it doesn't make sense. That's why we see people in China worshiping God, and if they're caught, they'd be put to death. Far easier to just say, nah, I'm not a Christian. I'll just keep living. But they see what God's done for them, and that's what gives them the power to do what they want to do. Praise God and rejoice, all ye sinners. Salvation has come to Berea. And we want to show the world that salvation has come to Berea by showing the baptism that made that salvation possible. So what does all this come down to? Baptism means that you identify with Jesus Christ. You agree with him that you are unable to stand in front of a holy God due to your sin. You agree with him that your sin deserves hell. And you agree with him that you have a sin penalty that you can't pay but must be paid if you're going to stand right in front of a righteous God. And Jesus came to pay that sin debt by shedding his blood on the cross for you. Repenting of your sin and crying out for salvation, he gloriously saves you, God adopts you, and you are now a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Now, you want to show the world that you are dead to that sin and that you are made alive in Christ. That sin debt is gone. It's paid for. It's finished. Paid in full. You are justified. Now, you hear them talk about kids all the time. Justified means just as if I didn't sin. And that is the only way you can approach a holy God, by having his righteousness imputed on you. Identifying with Jesus, now learn doctrine to find out how to walk with him. You agree with him that if you love him, you will keep his commandments. As Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now as the Son of God, you realize his way of life is far better. You agree with him and you want to walk with him. Well, if you're going to walk with him, you have to understand his commandments. You have to understand his doctrine. Guess where his doctrine is? He left us the instruction manual right here. You do everything you can to learn how to love that God who loved you so much to send his son to die for you. Do not try to keep 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in church. That's what most people do. You know, I kind of like my world. I kind of like my life. Yeah, I'll be a Christian. That stuff sounds great, but boy, I kind of like doing other things to do in this world too. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Jesus died, was buried, and is now resurrected to the right hand of the Father. You need to die to all your sins. You need to give them all to Jesus Christ. You need to put them on the cross that he may then cover them with his blood, and you may be declared righteous in front of a holy God. Put all those behind you. Don't be double-minded. Is there sin in your life? Yes. But you see your sin as God sees your sin. And you realize your sin, you go straight to him and ask for forgiveness. That's what you do now. You mortify the deeds of the flesh and look forward to being resurrected to eternal life. Now, mortify the deeds of the flesh. What does that mean? It means when I sin, I'm mortified. I know what I've done to my Heavenly Father who's done so much to me, and I need to make it right. And that's what we need to do, and that's what baptism shows the world. I'm dead to those sins. I might commit them, but I'm dead to them. I'm going to take care of them if it happens. Jesus Christ buried my sins with him on the cross, and now I'm going to be raised to newness of life with him. Once saved, be baptized as the very first act of obedience. Give a proper picture with full immersion showing what Jesus Christ did for you, and then go enjoy and serve him forevermore. With that, we're going to celebrate that baptism this afternoon, and we're going to sing Trust and Obey, because that is what people are doing with baptism. They are trusting in Jesus Christ that he took their sins. They're trusting in Jesus Christ so sins are forgiven, and then they're going to obey him that they may hear those great words, well done, good and faithful servant.